Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Okay, welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And today we're joined by Philippa Perry.
I thought you were Scrummy Mummies. A Scummy Mummies is much more manageable for me than Scrummy Mummies would be.
Good. Never Scrummy. It's a common mistake. We've been called Scrummy Mummies, Yummy Mummies, Scrumpy Mummies.
Ooh, yes. Cider lovers.
I know. I think we're going to launch our own brand, aren't we?
Yeah, I think
that's
so.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, but no, we are Scummy. Philippa, are you a Scummy Mummy?
I'm not particularly clean and tidy.
There we are. She's on brand.
Yeah.
She's on brand.
We did meet you while we were all holding lots of champagne in our hands and guzzling wine. So we kind of instantly liked you anyway.
Yes, alcoholics do tend to club together.
Funny that.
So, Philippa, you're a psychotherapist.
I am.
And you're an author. You're an agony aunt. And you're a woman with excellent hair. And, yeah. And this is one of the times where I think, God, we need to be 3D. Or what's the word? Visual. Because you're missing out on Philippa's hair.
Yeah, my hair is absolutely fantastic. And for the people that cannot see it, I feel sorry for you. But it's like this. It's black with white stripes. Sort of think zebra, think badger, that sort of thing.
We're going to kind of do a sort of agony aunt psychotherapy special. Basically, Philippa, we're on the couch and we want you to sort out our whole lives, our children, our marriages, our relationships, our careers, etc. Is that all right? Is that fair enough?
Won't take long.
Great.
Are you fucked? Yes, you are. Okay, great.
Shall we start with relationships?
Yeah,
chat,
speaking of fucking. So, Philippa, how do you have a happy and healthy relationship? What's the key?
What? Who with?
Your husband or your partner, your lady, your man?
Why do you want to prioritise that anyway?
Well, you know, something to do, isn't it?
I'm just curious.
Yeah, Helen, why? Well, tell us why that's something you're particularly interested in.
Well, how to have a happy and healthy relationship is don't worry about your own happiness. Just think about theirs. Fill up their cup and maybe a little bit might just overflow and come your way. No, basically be nice.
There we are. That was worth going to university for 3 years for, wasn't it? Good. How long have you been married? Quite a long time. How long have you been married?
Well, I've been married since 1987, but we've been together. No, I've been married since 1992, but we've been together since 1987.
Right, so nearly 30 years.
Nearly 30 years, yeah.
What do you
think? But I don't look it. I'm very young looking.
You got married when you were 12?
No, I got married when I was 35.
That's very young.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So, what do you think has kept your relationship going all these years?
Laziness.
Great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shared TV viewing habits.
Ah, that's a good one.
Yeah. And separate holidays.
Ah.
What else has kept it going? I think is that we do try and be nice, even when we might not feel like it. So. If you're feeling irritated anyway, it is so easy to blame how you feel on the person closest to you. We try not to do that.
That's a good choice.
That's tough though, isn't it? If you are having a particularly shit day, is it just about being conscious and just thinking?
I mean, if you're feeling depressed and annoyed, it's rather than look into yourself thinking, you know, how am I treating myself? What am I doing? It's so much easier to go, and if you did the holiday planning, washing up, thinking, or whatever it's supposed to be, my life would be better. You are the problem. Don't do that.
Right. I would suggest, what do you think about this? I mean, I'm not a psychologist, but here's my tip, separate duvets and an enormous bed. So Pete and I have got a super king size bed, And yeah, separate. He likes a very thin IKEA $5.99 monk's blanket. I like a Hungarian goose down 58 tog, you know, and then there's no arguments and no, well, we don't even have to touch each other.
Well, that is a sort of metaphor for actually at the beginning, you'll put up with all sorts of things like, you know, tiny duvets and stuff like that because you're in love.
Mm.
And after a while, you actually want your own comforts and how you like things. And so you just really have to acknowledge these differences. And actually, separate rooms isn't such a bad idea. I mean, you can still commute and that's quite exciting.
Mm.
But, you know, do you really want to read in the middle of the night? Because that light, you know, it's not quite working for me. Mm. So stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know?
What about separate rooms, but like adjoining, and then one of those little hatches they used to have like in the 70s where you'd put the dinner through, and then if you fancied a bit of, you know, you could just open the flaps and then put
open the flaps out,
show your bits through the window, and then that's sexy time, isn't it?
Seems ideal to me. That's an ideal solution.
Yeah. I think you and I should write a book. Separate duvets and a hatch. That's the secret
hatch and
to
snatch.
Long-lasting love.
Oh, nice. Yeah. All right, so we've cracked the nut of relationships.
So, yeah. No, we haven't. I think the idea is that people think for relationships, you do need to do things like have sex 4 times a week, share a bed, have fantastic foreign holidays together and stuff like that. But actually, those are cliches. What you really need to do is find your own way. And it basically boils down to how much can I stand, how much can he stand, and can we stand it together? So it's just sort of like, what can you tolerate? What do you actually enjoy? And what is like, no, that's where I've got to put a boundary. Mm. So you do need to put boundaries down. My boundary is no lights on at 3 a.m. You know, you've got to have a boundary like that.
Yeah.
And work around it.
I think that's fair enough. Mine is get your own duvet, don't touch me. So there we are. We're very happy. We're very, very happy.
Mine is pick up your fucking shoes off the couch. So that's, yeah, that's good.
Oh, good. You do have a thing about shoes, don't you?
Yeah, I just don't like coming into the room in the morning and seeing the shoes in front of the couch. So he's obviously just come home, taken the shoes off, sat down in front of the telly and then just walked away.
We're not going to get on very well together because if you, by the end of the week, I confess I have a cleanup, by about Sunday, there's about 6 pairs of shoes at my end of the sofa. Because I take them off, walk away, cannot find them in the morning, put on a different pair, and that's where they all end up.
A little congregation of shoes.
And at the beginning of the week, I think, great, I've got all my trainers back. This is fantastic.
But why does the shoes bother you so much?
I don't know. I just think it's like, you know, there's a shoe area. It's one thing I have created in my house is the shoe area. And saying you've done the dishes but not done the hard pots.
Oh, yeah.
Or say you've hung out the washing but not hung out the towels. That kind of thing. That irks me. Where you said, oh, no, but I did it. So that would be it. But yeah, the shoes thing. I think it's.
Do you think it's a metaphor, Philippa? Do you think the shoes is a metaphor?
That's exactly where I was going.
Come on! I'm nailing this!
We're going so deep!
These are just examples of, you know, you have a boundary, don't you?
Yeah.
You put up with something, but not something else.
Mm.
My personal one is I don't like shirtless downstairs. Don't mind naked. Don't mind bottomless. Can't bear shirtless. And it comes back from my pretentious, socially climbing parents who thought that if you went around with just trousers and a large top, it was like a miner's cottage and could not be tolerated. So this ghastly snobbism is within me and I'm not
being
proud of it.
But
I think it's something like that. I think it's something like, you know, your parents might have told you that shoes were dirty or something.
Mm.
And so you've just got this thing of, that is so wrong.
Yeah.
But it isn't. It's just, it's not wrong to walk around the house without a shirt on. It's not wrong to take your shoes off and leave them there.
Yeah.
But somehow we feel like the world will fall apart if these rules aren't kept together.
Yeah.
And we can either indulge each other by keeping to these minor kind of boundaries, or we can look in deep and think, do you really want to carry on being the same sort of snob your parents were?
Mm. So in Helen's case, do you think she should focus on not being bothered by the shoes, or do you think her husband should say, look, this really annoys her, I'm going to focus on not doing it? Who's right, Philippa?
There's no right, there's
no
wrong.
There is though.
There's no right, there's no wrong. I think basically what you have to calibrate is like who gets the most annoyed about something, who cares the most. So if you care more about the shoes being put away than he does about putting them away, then you get the shoes put away.
Yeah.
If he cares more about the right to leave his shoes where he takes them off than you do about them being put away, like it is in my house, then that's right. It's just a matter of assessing feelings. Feelings, rather than reasons, need to be the things that are looked at in a long-term relationship, because we actually are motivated by feeling, not by what is right. What is right is the mere justification of feeling. I think you've really got to get away from thinking you're objective and get in touch with what you're subjective about. Then you'd be much easier to get along with. It's not that anything is going to change.
Yeah.
But instead of saying, we have to do the washing up because that's hygienic, you say instead, I get really uncomfortable when the washing up isn't done. Then we can all relax a bit because we know the real reason the washing up's been done.
Or get a dishwasher. That's the right answer. Tick.
Well, I think we've all got our irks. I was like the other day I put a pair of shoes on a table and Ellie nearly inverted. She's like, I can't stand it, can't bear it. Can't put shoes on the table.
And I did try and be polite about it, because in fact, exactly what you're saying, I did have the thought in my head, I thought, that really bothers me. It did make me think, in my house, you never put shoes on the table, not just because it's dirty, isn't it? And you eat off the table, and it bothers me, so I had to move
Okay,
them.
Let's forget dirty and you eat right. off the table, because that's a post-rationalisation for your feelings.
Okay.
Just leave it, I don't like it. You don't have to get the magnifying glass out and prove that there's microbes there. It's about feelings. You just don't want the shoes on the table. That's it.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, but that's good. Like, Ellie and I have a relationship because we have to work together most days.
Don't sound so down about it.
I don't want to sound too keen. But no, so we have to work out, you know, we've just written a book together. And we have to, that's quite intense. Or we write shows or we tour together. So we have to find a way. I mean, we're just pretty honest with each other. We're different enough that it doesn't cause too much of a fraction.
What generally happens, okay, in any partnership or group or whatever that's working together is, first of all, you come together.
Mm.
Then you norm. This means that you just get into the groove of what seems to work. And then when you get a bit comfortable, you'll get irritated by the other person. Because, you know, at first you're so pleased that you've all come together, it feels great. Then you start to get irritated. And so you form, you norm, and then you storm.
Awesome.
And then you go, look, every time you come to my house, you put your shoes on the table, this is just not on. You go, oh God, you're so uptight, blah, blah, blah. You have a row. And then when you feel you can really get right up to each other's boundaries, you actually become bigger, more functional people, and then you perform. So you can remember this by form, norm, storm, perform.
So what's the perform bit?
That's when you actually are a really functioning relationship, because you can define yourself and say, this is me, and the other person can define themselves and say, this is me. When you're just norming, you're saying, this is us, which isn't quite real.
Good.
Excellent. You know, I'm feeling better about it, because I think there's this myth that you have to like everything about the other person, or you have to have sex all the time, or, as you said, have mini breaks in France together all the time to have that kind of notion of happy.
Yeah, you've got sort of like you're sold a notion of happy.
Mm.
And there's almost, right, you're also sold, you're sold with fear. Like, unless you go on a mini break, you will break up. No, you won't. Especially these mini breaks are such a pain in the arse. Who's looking after the cat for a start, you know?
It's the admin I don't like.
Yeah.
And about, you know, frequency of sex and all that.
There's no magic formula.
No.
I mean, I think it's perfectly possible to have no sex at all and be completely devoted to each other.
Mm.
What it isn't, I don't think, possible to do is to be completely happy and have no touching. In the Gottman Institute, they found out that happiness, you can measure it by the number of sort of hugs and loving touches you have, is a better indicator of a good relationship than how many times you come together carnally. Right. Because there's not necessarily tenderness in carnal relations, whereas in, you know, stroking, there is.
Yeah.
So it's not the number of times you release sexual tension with each other, or even fancying the pants off each other, that is an indicator of a long marriage. It's how often you lovingly touch, hug.
More stroking, less boning, in a nutshell.
Yeah. You don't have to, you know, ease off the boning. Right. You know, if boning is your thing, as is playing golf together is your thing, just carry on doing it. That's a way you come together. Mm. Yeah, great, good on you. And who doesn't like scratching an itch from time to time? But
so true.
Loving touch is what you don't want to let go of.
I'm going to, when my husband gets home from work tonight, I'm just going to pat him gently until he says something nice. That'll probably work, won't it?
I'll just see whether he wants that.
We do a hug it out thing, because I read somewhere about, you know, you have to hug for a long time. Some thing about that.
Sounds exhausting, yeah.
Yeah. And like if we've had a bit of a row about dishes or something like that, and then we go, okay, let's hug it out. And we have to stand in the kitchen, we just hug for about 30 seconds and just...
I can't do it, doesn't it?
Who starts patting first? Who starts patting?
That means you want to get out, doesn't it?
Yeah. Does it?
It does. Yeah, yeah. Whoever starts patting, that actually means release, get off.
Ah,
yeah. So, But does it work? Because to me, that would feel... Sometimes if I've had a row, I don't feel like hugging them.
No, it does. It just sort of... Until we sort of calm down and then go, right, let's move on.
Yeah, whatever works for you. I've never actually tried that one myself, but whatever. One size does not fit all.
No. One of these things my friend said to me the other day about marriage is that men never think the women are going to leave, and women think that they're going to, that men will change. And they're the two myths. And would you agree with that? About
those are myths.
Yeah, or that
they are
true.
They're held beliefs.
Yeah,
I don't know. I haven't done the survey.
Okay, so will people change? Do you, you know?
Yeah,
we do change. Yeah,
we do change in relationship. Maybe not in the way you want to change someone, but human beings are not made out of stone. We are organic creatures, and we actually form in relationship with each other. Now, you can see this in the biggest example is that, you know, your kids form in relationship with you and with their culture, and you can actually watch and observe that. But we don't stop forming in relationship with people, so we will continue to change. Now, when people say we've grown apart, I just go, oh, yawn, cliche. What is actually happening is that we grow all the time, and it's whether you share the process of how you're impacted upon by the world and what new ideas you've had, and whether you bring this back into a partnership in order to share it. And that's how we, you know, we continue to influence and change each other. And I think a good partnership is one where there is mutual impact. If anything you say or do has no effect on the other person, you'd get pretty fed up. Mm. But whether you can change someone so they put their shoes away, I don't know. But you can certainly, you know, be open to new ideas and you know, share what you've learned. And I think that makes for a good partnership. And I think it makes for a good relationship between parents and children, especially if it can go both ways and you learn from your children and your children tell you stuff or show you how to work your phone or whatever. And you go, you know, thanks for teaching me. Mm. Because if you are open to be changed by your children, they are much more likely to be flexible and be changed by you, because you are modelling flexibility. Is this getting too serious?
No! It's really good!
This is changing our lives!
This is amazing!
Okay. When I get home, I'm going to make Joe show me how to use the phone. He's only 21 months old, but it's worth a try, isn't it?
He's actually probably quite good at screens. They seem to pick them up instinctively.
Oh. Yeah, it's a bit frightening. So maybe my husband will grow up.
All right, this is opening another can of worms here. Maybe my husband will grow up. What I hear in that is... I'm right, you're wrong. And in order to grow up, what we must do is let go of having to be right. That is the number one block in any relationship, whether it's your relationship with your child, your relationship with your partner. If you think I'm right, you're wrong. Mm. And being right is more important than finding common ground, then you're on to a loser. It's quite common for marital therapists, couples counsellors, to say to a partnership, you have a choice. You can either be right and split up, or allow yourself to be mistaken from time to time and stay together. Because the having to be right thing is actually, people think that if I let go of my position, I will be annihilated by the humiliation and shame. No, you won't. In fact, you can be proud of being flexible. And also, shame doesn't kill you. So, for God's sake, let go of being right.
Mm. I like that.
That's great.
I like that. Right, do you think we've cracked the relationship nut, Helen?
I think so. I felt like I've just done a university course. I feel enriched and
excellent.
Great. Shall we move on to children?
Yes.
Oh, I like children.
And you've just done an amazing Radio 4 show about why children lie.
I have. It's available for a year. I just took one of my little aphorisms, which is, don't look at the behaviour, look at the feelings under the behaviour. And there are many, many reasons why children and indeed adults lie. But don't just look at the lie and go, this is wrong. Mm. Look at why they got in that position. Look at what's happening. Look at how they're feeling. And then you can be more understanding about the lying. And actually, lying is a thing to be celebrated because it's quite a clever thing to do. Because you've developed something that we call theory of mind, if you can lie, which is you've got reality, you've got your version of reality, and you know that your mum, whoever you're lying to, has got their version of reality. So you're already holding two points of view, and then you are bringing in a third reality, if you like, which is the lie, which you are trying to persuade her to change hers. I think it's incredibly clever, and you can start to do this theory of mind thing from about the age of four. I mean, a 9-month-old baby will lie, but not very well. For instance, they'll be eating their toast in their high chair or whatever, and when mummy's back turns, I'll just throw it over their shoulder and then smile.
Do they do that? What?
And then they'll smile. Mummy turn around and go, and she'll see the toast on the floor and go, you haven't eaten that, have you?
Yes, I have.
Or whatever the facial expression or whatever. So they lie, but they don't realise that just because they can't see the toast anymore, mummy's going to think it's, you know, gone the right way. You know, but it's not, they're not so good at lying.
No, it's when they get to, it's about three, like when they start nursery and stuff, and I remember my 3-year-old went to nursery and the teacher said, oh, I didn't know you used to live in Singapore.
Oh, God.
And I was like, we didn't.
That's wonderful. Your 3-year-old got the country Singapore. That is incredible.
Yeah, and she was from Malaysia. She was like, oh, and she was just willing to...
Oh, my God, your daughter was... Daughter, son? Daughter.
Daughter, yeah.
Your daughter was trying to form a relationship with someone, so she tried to get closer to them by saying, oh, I know where you've come from. That is so skilled. You must be so proud.
I'm so We've all proud. Done it. She's not really Australian. She just thinks it makes her more likeable. Yeah. She does the accent. She's from Croydon originally.
That's right.
I'm actually quite disappointed now because you know, I did like her because she had an Australian accent.
Yeah, no, exactly.
It's all part of my...
Rough as guts.
That's
all next
right.
to Anando's.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think Nando's was around then.
So lying is one thing, but how do you get your kids to talk to you kind of at all, which is something I'm struggling a bit with now. So my son Charlie is 5 and I'm reading this book called The Danish Guide to Parenting, which is, right, okay, here we go. So it's all about how
very good
the Danes are very happy, and you know, sometimes he'll just whack his brother for apparently no reason, but I know there's something behind it. Mm. And it says in this book, sample conversations, so you say to the child, tell me what happened, and the child says, well, I hit my brother, and you say why, and the child says, because he took my car, and so this. So I've tried that with my son. I go, why did you hit your brother? And he goes, don't know, because you were angry. And he goes, don't know. And I have nowhere to go with that. I don't know what to do.
Don't
help
know.
Me, Philip, help me. Don't know.
If you want your child to do a new behaviour, then you have to do it first. You don't tell them to do it. You show them. Another thing, if you want your kids to listen to you as well, you have to listen to them. So that is the number one behaviour you want to model, is listening. So you listen to your kids. And by listening to them, that means sometimes you observe them and then notice what it is they're probably feeling. I mean, they kind of have, you know, they don't usually hide it that well, what they're feeling. And then you put into words what they're feeling. And very gradually, they kind of pick up this sort of emotional intelligence. An example I can give you is that I wish I was the perfect parent, but I wasn't. And occasionally, I would take out my temper on my poor small child, which I'm not proud about. But I would occasionally say to my daughter, I'm really sorry, I was so grumpy with you this morning, it wasn't your fault, I was just really tired and I took it out on you, and that's not fair, and I'm sorry. And she sort of, I didn't know if she was listening or not, but I said it. And then when she was about 4 years old, I can remember where she was standing, actually, she was standing just there by the fruit bowl in the kitchen. And she was eating banana and she said, oh, Mummy, I am so sorry. I was really bad-tempered in the car. It's because I was hungry. I'm much better now. I just thought, oh, my God. She has apologised for how she was. I couldn't even remember how she was in the car. So I just went, oh, that's fine. Thank you. That's very nice. But it's because I had modelled that ever since she was 0 years old. About when I was behaving in an unacceptable way, which we all do, even though we're grown up, rather than always being right, just say, actually, I was wrong about that, and I'm really sorry. And then they learn to do that as well. It's amazing.
And so, I think it's important to acknowledge, isn't it, that we all have bad days, and we all lose our temper, and we all behave in a way that we're not proud of.
Yeah. The thing is, that causes a rupture. And the thing is, when you have a rupture, you need to repair it. And so if you model this, you know, repairing any sort of rupture, then your kids will just pick up on that's the way to be. So if we tend to interrogate our children, they will learn to interrogate. So you might want to say instead, I notice you hit your brother. And I notice that he's now playing with your car. And I guess you're frustrated he took it off you. And you can just sort of leave it there, if you like. And if he goes to hit, you can sort of hold him and go, we don't hit. But what you can do, because you're so angry, is throw this softball against this grate or whatever it is.
Okay.
You know, you can offer him an alternative way of getting out his anger. And then you can find a way of, You can model it by saying, you know, I don't like it when you throw your chocolate mousse on the floor. What I would like is if you would say, no more chocolate mousse, please, and I can take it away.
Mm.
You know, and you keep saying that from, you know, age 18 months to age 6. And then you'll get so shocked one day, age 7, when they go, I don't like this sago pudding. Could you just remove it? Or yeah. I'm going to remove it or whatever. And yeah. you can go, fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's, you just have to model what you want. It takes a lot longer than going, stop that.
But so instead of stop that, you say, but stop, I don't that. Like what you're doing. Is that the thing?
Yeah, you, no. I don't like what you're doing. And then when they say to you, because they'll model everything you do, I don't like what you're doing, you go, oh, I see you don't like what I'm doing. Mm. Thank you for telling me that. I am going to carry on brushing your hair, cleaning your teeth, whatever it is. And I'm really sorry you don't like it.
Yeah. I am going to comb the nits out of your hair right now because we can't let you out in public.
Yeah.
We need to do this. I'm very sorry.
Yeah.
Because when I do have to comb nits out, I said, look, I don't want to do it and I know what it's like. I didn't like it either when I was little, but it'll be over very soon and we have to do this because it's...
Yeah. I actually love doing nits. We love doing nits because I got a little baby toy microscope. And we put the nits under the microscope and watched them and made it into a marvellous learning opportunity.
You're a genius. Oh, God.
I had a load of children here and after school because all the mothers were working and I wasn't. So I sometimes sort of picked them all up and gave them all tea here.
You're like a funnel of children.
Oh, God.
The pint
piper. And I can remember a lot of head scratching going on. I thought, let me have a look. And I thought, they all had fucking nits. And I thought, right. So I got some stuff.
Shaved their heads.
And I got my nit comb. And
kerosene.
I had mixing bowls all on the table and we did all our hairs and we did all the thing. And then I bought little bottles. So when all the mums came up, I went, and this is what you've got to do your hair with at home. And I've done it all. And this mother from down the road here, darling Juliet, said, I hate you. You are the perfect mother. You are vile. I went, I know. I'm sorry.
Now, going the other way, because we talked about meltdown and stuff, can we praise our children too much? Like in terms of like the sick of, you know, like the, what are they called? The emperor children or the...
Oh, yes, you can.
Mm.
Okay. Now, reward and punishment, praise and its opposite. That's not how you relate to people, is it?
Mm.
I mean, do you try and manipulate each other like that? Oh, Ellie, done. You bought the cakes. Good girl.
I tell you what, Will got a blowjob the other day and there were no shoes in that lounge. I'm joking, of course.
I don't know what the shoes has got to do with it, but I just feel like if you're going to praise, only praise effort. Yeah. Only praise the effort. Oh my God, you're trying so hard. I'm quite impressed with that. So what you do is when they show you a picture, the nicest compliment you can give them is to be interested in the picture, not give it a judgment.
Mm. Yeah.
So you go, oh, look, I can see that there's a house there and the sun's out and there's lots of green grass. Oh, that sun feels warm. I'd like to spend an afternoon at that house. It looks really fun.
Yeah.
Like that. And then they trot off and do another picture. If you go, oh, yes, that's lovely, dear. Really lovely picture. You can see the sort of like, well, where do I go from here? I've got the accolade. I've got the star.
The stamp. Does it help if you do it in a Danish accent?
No.
Tech?
No.
All right. I better stop doing that then.
Not even funny. It helps if you're really...
And some meatballs.
It helps is if you're
really... No, Danish, love. Danish. Oh, sorry.
If you're really yourself, be yourself.
Mm.
Sort of not this sort of like, I am going to be a machine that's going to manipulate my kid into being the best it can possibly be. It being the objective word here. Because... Mm. You're treating your kid like an object to be shaped and manipulated rather than a person to be related to. Relate.
Mm.
Pay them attention. Listen to what they're saying. Make sure you've got it right. The reward and punishment. What? You're not training a dog. I treat those two the same.
Yeah.
And I'm not keen on either of them.
Mm.
Really not.
So no naughty steps, no...
No.
No time in, time out, nothing like that.
No smacking.
So what do you do then if you... So say your child has done something
that is really, you know, he's hurt another child, or she's like one thing Charlie does is sometimes if he's angry with us because we've got to leave somewhere, but he'll throw something from the back of the car at Pete, in who's driving, which obviously is quite dangerous, and we can't, you know.
It's like, don't do that. You know, I don't like it when you do that. Not okay if you do that, you're going to your room or something. I don't like the you're going to your room if you do that, because you just get in this sort of like, I hate you, mum, and I hate you, kid, sort of meltdown. Yeah. Sort of like, how about, I know this is going to frustrate you, but we are going to have to leave in 10 minutes. Okay, we're going to leave in 5 minutes, three minutes, 1 minute, we're going.
Mm.
So he's got the warning. He doesn't have to demonstrate his disappointment because you really fully understand it.
Mm.
And so it's just a form of communication, the sock or the stone that goes across and hits your husband on the head when he's driving.
Mm.
And so,
I mean, we've all done it.
So if you can encourage them to talk in other ways. Now, what we tend to do, because we just want to shut that shit down, what we tend to do, without meaning to, tell them off for feeling frustrated.
Right.
That's the mistake. Or we always say, don't worry, because we're going to the zoo later. We try and distract them. That's not the way to do it. Steer into the skid. Acknowledge the feeling you really don't want to acknowledge. I mean, the worst ones are, you know, is when they pinch the new baby, you know, and cause the new baby to cry. You are absolutely bloody furious, and, you know, because you want to protect your newborn, so you've got all these floods of emotion going up. But what you do is you get on the same level as the kid, and you go, you're really, really fed up with the new baby, aren't you? And the new baby goes, why can't we take it back to the hospital? I don't like it. You go, oh, you really like that. So you have to acknowledge what you don't want to acknowledge. You have to steer into the skid you'd really rather steer out of. You have to go right in there, and you have to say, and then you have to say more. You have to say, it's really difficult. Everybody's coming to the house, praising the new baby, and expecting you to be as delighted as everybody else is, and you're really not, are you? You are fed up. Your world's been thrown upside down, and now you have to share mummy and daddy with this person that can't even play with you.
And what do you do there? Because I've done that. But if you've done it, and then the child, as has happened to me, either runs away or hits you repeatedly, which I get sometimes.
Then you just
or runs off and just
arms.
Does it again and again.
You just
and again.
Hold the arms and you go, yeah, you want to hit me. It's really bad. You just stay with the really bad feelings, and they will exhaust themselves eventually. And what they tend to do is sort of like, then you hear the baby crying and you go, oh, there's the baby crying again. What should we do? And he'll go, let's just leave it for a bit. Go, all right, we'll leave it for a bit. And then we might say, you know, when you're crying an awful lot, it'd be awful if no one came to you, wouldn't it? You'd feel really sad if I didn't come to you when you were crying. So maybe we should go to the baby. Come and help me with the baby. You know, include, even though that's a real pain.
Hmm.
And so if when you have another child, because that I think is the most devastating thing that can happen to an existing child, you somehow make his life more interesting and better because of that child rather than worse and deserted, then they will love their sibling. If you make them feel like, from, you know, it's the end of the world and life is never the same again, they won't hate you. They might be angry with you, but they won't hate you, but they will hate their sibling. So you have to sort of make life even more fun, as if you hadn't got enough to do when the new baby
nipples
comes
are
along.
Leaking and your fanny's bleeding and
tired. Turn your lounge into Legoland. Come on.
it's sort of like, you know, when you go to the supermarket, it's sort of like, well, the baby can't help me see what we need for supper, but you can.
What's that?
Marshmallows for supper? Why not?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Right, that's it. When we get home, I'm going to teach Charlie to breastfeed. We're off. You know, as we said earlier, we've all lost our temper and we all have shouted at our children. Is it such a terrible thing if they sometimes, not every day, not all the time, but is it so terrible to sometimes see that you are really angry and that sometimes that is what people do when they're cross?
No, it's not a terrible thing, but I do think that shouting is unacceptable. And even though I do it, because it's unacceptable, I apologise for doing it. Not that that makes it okay. Not that I think, oh, I can shout because I can apologise later. I try not to. But, you know, sometimes self without. You know, the the worst thing you're told in all the parenting books is shouting at people when they're potty training, right? That is a terrible, terrible thing.
Mm.
My daughter was not that great at getting potty trained. And she was actually 4 years old and she still occasionally shit herself. She had got marvellous concentration, however, because I have this thing about never interrupt a baby, never interrupt a toddler when they're playing a game, unless you really, really have to. So she developed amazing powers of concentration. But she had this thing called a poo face. I'll just do it for you now. Right, so I knew
that's like my sex face.
So you've got an idea, listener, now what the poo face is. And then so most of the time I saw the poo face and managed to get her on the potty. But anyway, I was watching her play one day and then she put her hands on her face like that. And then carried on playing and I smelt this poo. I went, "You little bugger! You knew you were gonna do a poo, so you covered your face so you didn't have to stop playing." And I lost it big time. You know, I shouted, tears everywhere, sulking. And afterwards I might have said, "I'm really sorry I shouted about the poo thing. However, please, if you're going to do a poo, do it on the loo." Yeah, I probably did say that. She never pooed her pants again. And I do think, I mean, I'm not saying this is what you should do, but I do think my losing my temper was pretty scary.
Yeah.
Covering her face, I mean, I'm angry just going over it again.
Yeah. I'm furious on your behalf, Philippa.
Even though it was 20...
Where is she? Let me have a word.
She's at work, she's a journalist, she's a...
Right. But, well, she'll go down there and shout through the next one.
This was 20 years ago.
Yeah. And have you got any more Philippa aphorisms? Have you got any more nuggets of Philippa wisdom to pass on to our listeners?
Oh, God.
Like, I don't know, you never get involved in a land war in Asia, something like that. I guess, what do you do? What's a good thing to do, or how do you cope if you're having one of those days, which again, I think most, if not all of us have had, where you're like, "Do you know what? This is really hard. Okay. I'm very tired. Okay, my kids are winding me up. I've had enough.
It is boring. It is repetitive. It is monotonous. And, you know, when you are doing something at work, in the big wide world, you do the work and then you see the thing you've made. That's amazing.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, you have a day of changing nappies and mopping up spills and talking Sylvanian families until you're hoarse or whatever for entertainment, and the baby looks exactly the same as it did this morning. It's sort of like the reward for the effort put in feels very minimal, and that can get you down.
Mm.
It can really feel like, "I'm not making any difference here. Nothing is happening." My little tip is, remember what you do is meaningful. Even though it's like drip, drip, drip of water, you know, being nice, being warm, being loving. It can take a lot of effort sometimes because you might not feel like it. But, you know, you might feel like shouting when actually you go, "Oh dear, you've dropped it again. Don't worry, we can wipe it up." You know, you say all that and you want to go, "I've avenged it!" But, you know, you're bracketing that and you're managing to find your kind part and putting that forward. And it can feel like a massive effort. Remember, it will pay off in the end. It's just like, this is a 20-year project, not a 10-minute one. Honestly, the relationships you have with your adult children, when you've listened to them, taken them seriously as people and not think of them as jokes that you can just dismiss, it's just fabulous. You know, you've got someone who is, you know, a fabulous tribe member. Someone who's got your back for a change. It's just the most beautiful thing. Think of the end game. That's my aphorism.
I love that. Yeah. Stick that on a coaster. Job done. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Philippa. I think now it's time.
I'm sure I could talk about myself a bit more. Have we really finished? Let's have a look at this. Are there any secrets? What's that? We didn't do that.
I was referring to, are there any secrets of a good marriage?
Word secret I have a problem with. Secrets are really, really bad. Don't ever have any.
I agree with that, you see.
I do too. Yeah.
Is it okay to row? No, not really. It isn't. It's really nice.
Yes, it is. Just trying
really,
it out.
It's really, really not very kind. But I think it's okay to disagree and discuss.
She's just nailing it.
I know, I like
this. How do we raise children so they don't become arseholes? What's the secret? Ah, ha, ha. Okay, children become arseholes when we don't give them enough attention. So they have to become arseholes in order to get our attention. So, we are the arsehole when they are arseholes. If you don't like something in your child, then look to yourself and not the child in order to correct it. And there's not much going on with a kid that can't be made better by good, positive attention. You're going to have to give the kid attention anyway, so you might as well make it positive attention. You might as well put it positive first, even though it's going to take ages. The negative later, which takes even longer and isn't so nice.
But what would you say to someone who said, well, that sounds great and I would love to give my child super attention all of the time, but sometimes I have to make the tea or put the wash on or feed the baby.
Okay,
or,
when you're doing that, you just involve the child. You don't exclude the child when you're putting the wash on. You don't exclude the child when you're doing the baby. You involve the child. You talk to the child. I'm not saying that you should be so completely child-led that you just follow them around and commentate on what they're doing, but that you do say, come on, we're going to make pastry because I've got to make tea tonight. And here, you rub in the fat. You just involve them.
What if they say, I don't want to do that?
You go, okay, you don't have to do it. But this is what I'm going to do. So you just don't push the child away. If you push your child away, they will become an asshole. If you let your child in, and a lot of the time, they don't want to make pastry with you. They want to play Sylvanian families. Good, they'll go off and do it. And they'll go off and do it happily without being an asshole if they feel you're always there and always available to come back to. So if you want to get more free time away from your child and doing everything they do, bombard them with attention and then they feel secure and then they walk away from you. That's an aphorism.
Mm-hmm.
Don't walk away from them. Let them walk away from you and be there for them to come back to. Okay, next one.
Done.
I think it's really important to light up every time your kid comes into the room because you are a mirror for they see themselves in you as a mirror. So light up rather than say, take your shoes off. Light up and then say, take your shoes off. Okay? Light up first.
Mm. Well, thank you, Philippa. Thank you for sharing your sage wisdoms. Now, we always do like to round off the podcast with Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to start with, should we start with a listener?
Yes, we do have a listener, a lovely listener who has sent us a Scummy Mummy Confession from Kenya. So this is a woman called Jess. And she says, my 2-year-old had his first day back at kindergarten this morning. I wasn't late. I did, however, have my trousers on inside out and the smell of poo from a day-old cloth nappy. I only remembered about this morning, and it's on my hands.
Hooray!
Hooray!
And well done, Jess.
Thank you, Jess, for sharing that all the way from Kenya. Hello, Kenya.
Yes.
Oh, that's lovely.
Helen, do you have a confession for us?
Yeah, I was on holiday in France with my family. There was 11 of us, brothers, mum, you know, cousins, etc. And my son wanted to play with the iPhone. He was just going to play some CBeebies game. I said, that's fine, we're all chatting. And then he came back with my iPhone and said, I just took a photo of my poo.
Oh, yeah.
And, that's sweet.
Isn't it?
Lovely stuff.
Lovely.
Now, Philippa, do you have a Scummy Mummy confession you would like to share?
You see, my daughter is now 24, so the poo things are fading now. Mm. Oh, my God. There was one when she was having a bath with her friend, and her friend started screaming because Flo had done a little poo. A little brown fish, I said, but it didn't really. And she was screaming because she was very fastidious, this child. But, you know, whatever.
Why is it floating? Is it dead?
You know, I just
it's a sea monkey.
You relax in the bath. It's bound to slip out. Anyway.
Yeah. Done. Parenting. Done.
Great.
Oh, well, that's it, isn't it, Helen? That's the end of the podcast.
This has been an amazing podcast. Thank you, Philippa.
Yes, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
And,
it's been great not working for 2 hours.
Good. And listen to Philippa's amazing show on the Radio 4 website. We'll put up the link. And you've got a book, haven't you, called, is it How to Stay Sane?
Yeah, How to Stay Sane.
Now, if you have enjoyed the podcast, as always, please tell your friends. If you want to leave us an iTunes review, that's brilliant because it helps push us up the charts and it means more people get to hear about the podcast.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And we're doing some more live shows coming up soon. So do check our website on the live shows link.
All right. Is that it then?
It is. It is. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you again, Philippa. Thank you for hosting us and being such a brilliant guest.
You're very welcome. I'm strangely tired now.
I'm emotionally drained. Yes.
I'm as high as a kite. Okay, so let's go.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Ugh.
I like video games though, so it's, you know, I'm...
I love a game. I'm Pokemon crazy.
Are you? What level are you?
16 or 17. Yeah. Let me have a look, actually.
Let's have a look. Let's
now see. We're getting into the real Philippa.
Have you got a growler?
No, I've not got a growler. What is a growler?
Growl-eyed is the correct term, actually. I just was being filthy.
I don't know. I might have. What is a growler when it's rude?
It's a, you know...
But, you know, 16 or 17 I am.
You're good.
And I've got two Pikachus.
We've found our people.
We're desperate for a Pikachu. Me and my son go out Pikachu hunting quite a lot.
And we've got two. I've got two Pikachus. But you can't do swaps, can you?
No, yeah. It's not like cards.
One day I might have your growler for one of my Pikachus.
Oh! Well, since you... about that. Not since university. Yeah. Okay.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.